Okay, open to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. I want to start with a question. See what you've gained, if you've gained. Why was the Gospel of Matthew written? Do you know? Okay, to give us guidance, but there is a specific purpose for Matthew's book. You know, we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we say, well, they're repeated a lot, but they're targeting certain things. That's what they go after. Do you have a thought, Lois? It does have the lineage of Christ. Come back to Matthew 1:1. He tells us at the very beginning of the book. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. What is this book about? Jesus the Messiah. What is a Messiah? The anointed one, we call it Christ. The word Christ, that's the Messiah. The anointed one of God. Anointed for what? What'd you say? To be our king. That's what Matthew's about. It's about King Jesus. He is the anointed king of God. I want us to jump over to John real quick. John chapter 18. Look at something here real quick. John chapter 18. Look at verse 36. This is Jesus when he's been arrested. He's before Pilate. And listen to the conversation between him and Pilate. Verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." What's he expressing to Pilate? I'm not a kingdom of, I don't have a kingdom on this earth like you might think of as a king ruling. And then look at verse 37. So Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So guess why I was born? Why did he come to this earth? Not just to die for our sins, but what? I am a king. And my kingdom's not of this world. You remember in Matthew 13, we went through all these parables. What was every parable about? The kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, now, the kingdom of heaven is like all these different elements. Jesus is expressing it to his disciples, but now we're going to see King Jesus start coming into play. Even to this day, and I think Marlene said it last time I was taught class, that the Jews today still don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Matthew is written to prove he is the Messiah. He is the anointed King of God. And he is the king in his kingdom. And what does his kingdom, who's his kingdom over? Over all the earth. Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to, here in Matthew 14, we're going to read the verses here. At the first, just a few of the first 12. I know Carrie covered it in the last class, but I saw something I had never seen before, and I want to share it with you. One of the things we see, the difference in kings, the difference between Jesus and others. There's one word going to pop up, and you're going to see it over and over. And it may not come in the form, you'll see it in the attitudes of people around. And there's this one word, it's called fear. Fear is a terrible thing to live in. Fear is something that King Jesus is trying to take us from and bring us under a different type of rule. You know, when we talk about fear, I'm not talking about something coming up and someone scaring you. It's not. We're talking about a fear, a dread. Sometimes people have a fear of dying. They're fearful. Why do we do that? Sometimes people have fear that they're going to lose their things that they've worked so hard for. Sometimes people are fearful of losing a job. That's the kind of fear we're talking about. And when that, what does that do to you when a person has that kind of fear? Okay, you're looking at yourself, she said, instead of. Yes, you're fearful for yourself, an obsession that I don't want to lose my things that I count as precious. You know, a lot of times when a tornado hits or a flood hits, people will lose a home, and they're fearful. I lost all these relics that I've cherished all these years. What am I going to do now? Fear. You know, I always tell people from time to time, you know, it's all going to burn in the end anyway. So it's just going to be a bigger fire. But fear dominates the lives and the hearts of people. I've seen it in the life of parents when they deal with their children. They had a bad experience as a child. And they're fearful that their children are going to have those same bad experiences. So they go to compensate and they do great damage to their children because of that fear. I've seen grandparents that refuse to listen to the word of the Lord because if they do it God's way, they're afraid that they're going to lose their grandchildren. Fear. It just dominates our lives. It dominates everything we think about. And it creates within us a path that is not toward God. That kind of fear can take us down a path that's faithless, untrusting. And we're going to see it here with Herod. And I'll show you the difference between kings. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the news about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist, has risen from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him." What's the first thing that Herod thinks? It's John the Baptist. Now, you know what's interesting? We haven't even been told that John is dead. Herod knows he's dead. Matthew's fixing to tell us that John is dead. No one else knows except Herod, because Herod has him beheaded in prison. No one else knows. And so the servants of Herod tell Herod what? When they hear about Jesus, and the things Jesus was doing. Yeah, they it's a miraculous powers, and who is it? Oh, John's come back from the dead. The first thing that hits Herod, fear. He's fearful that John has come back from the dead. You can't kill this man. And that's who his servants tell him who Jesus is. Continue on. Verse 3. For when Herod had John arrested, he bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. For John had been saying to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. Here's John been telling King Herod what? It's against the law for you to have your brother's wife. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the Herodian dynasty. You're reading history on, you need to, it's interesting. Read, the Herodian dynasty was a very convoluted family. I mean, they were horrible. They were evil. There was incest involved. There was betrayals. There was murders. It's just an evil, evil family dynasty all the way through. Well, here's Herod. He's got his brother's wife. And John, I appreciated Carrie last week bringing Josephus into the picture. The historian Josephus tells us that Herodias, his brother's wife, she was trying to change the laws of the land. And John was trying to tell her, it's not lawful for you to have her. So how did he feel about John? How dare you tell me what the law of the land is? I'm king. I had him bound and I had him put in prison because of what he would tell me. Herod, who is this man? Who is Herod? He's king. And as king, what does he have at his disposal? I mean, does he have soldiers? Does he have wealth? Can he make laws to the land? Yeah, he's got all of this. But one thing he hears about Jesus, and what does it do to him? Scared, made him afraid. He's fearful. Let's move on down just a little bit. Look at verse 5. Although Herod wanted to put him to death, see what? What did he want to do? Although Herod wanted to put him to death, now look at the, he feared the crowd because they regarded John as a prophet. What's the first thing that scared Herod about Jesus being John? The crowd thought John was who? He was a prophet. And now it put Herod in a terrible position. Fear gripped him. Fear had a hold of him. And he's going to make his decisions based on what? On fear. That's what he's doing. Come on down to verse 8. This is the daughter Herodias who danced before Herod. Having been prompted by her mother, she said, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. She danced before him and the guests. She pleased him. And what did she ask for? Because Herod told her, I'll give you anything you want. I want John's head on a platter. He feared the people. Let's keep this going, thought going. Look at verse 9. Although he was grieved, the king commanded it to be given because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests. How far did his fear go? Far enough to kill him, but why did he kill him? What was he afraid of? What did his fear do to him? See, he made oaths. The dinner guests heard him. And so guess what? I live in fear. I don't want my dinner guests to think that I don't keep my word. So he has John beheaded. See what fear, how it drives a person? All the way through, look down at verse 12. His disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went away and reported it to Jesus. Now here's a point. John was bound and he was arrested because he was telling Herod about the law of the land. And what did it cost him? God didn't promise you won't lose your life. When are we going to accept that? But we live in fear so much. Oh, I don't want this. I don't want that to happen. Fear dominates our thinking too many times. And we don't let King Jesus dominate. Now, we're looking at Herod here. Herod has this, all these soldiers. He has this army. He has this vast wealth. How much does Jesus have? One man has stirred Herod to all this great fear. Jesus has no armies. Jesus doesn't have all this great wealth. And yet, Herod is fearful of Jesus. He's fearful of the people. This is, tells you how rulers act a lot of times. We can see it sometimes in our presidents. They're afraid of numbers? Wonder what the polls say about me. So being fearful of that, they've got to do whatever they can. Fear, everything is fear driven. We need to see that. Except Jesus is not fear driven. I'm a king. And my kingdom's not part of this world. I'm going to show you how to rule. I'm going to show you how a king rules. Jesus is. Verse 13. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus heard about John, what's the first thing Jesus did? He goes to a secluded place. What do you see Jesus wanting to do? Grieve. And he wants to be alone. Spend some time with God. That's the key. But here we go. Look at verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed them. Jesus saw this huge crowd coming to him. And what does he do? What does Jesus do? He felt compassion. What's compassion? It's a kindness. It goes along that line. Compassion's not feeling sorry for somebody, pitying somebody. Compassion is where you have sorrow for them and you're going to do something about it. You know, a lot of times people, well, I sure feel sorry for them, but we don't do anything about it. That's not compassion. Jesus felt compassion for the people. You want to see your king? First thing he did to this crowd, he had compassion for all the people. Now look where that takes us. Verse 15. When it was evening, and maybe we'll back up and just say, yeah, he healed their sick. Jesus did something about the infirmities of the people too. Verse 15. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate. And the hour is already late, so send the crowd away so they go into the village villages and buy food for themselves. What's the disciples' answer to Jesus? Yeah, let them go buy their own food. Let them go take care of themselves. That was their answer. King Jesus doesn't see things like that. Continue on, verse 16. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. See, they had an answer. But what did Jesus tell them in their answer? Yeah. You can't help them. Don't send them away. But you know what I want you to do? Give them something to eat. What's going to be impossible for those disciples? See, you're getting a picture. Let's see the kingdom of Jesus. Let's see King Jesus. Look at what he's about to do. Keep them here. Verse 17. They said to him, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. You feed them. Well, this is all we've got, these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. Okay? Feed this multitude. How are you going to do that? Continue on. But he said, bring them here to me. Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. 2 fish, 5 loaves. What did Jesus do? From hardly nothing, what did Jesus do? Fed them all just a little bit till they were satisfied. Question. Who is this king that we are under? Who is this King Jesus? He seeks our needs. He speaks to those needs. This is the king. This is the king of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. I just explained it to my disciples, and now I'm showing you the rule, the reign of heaven among his people. And here's what I can do. What can I do? And we run around fearful when things don't go well. Well, I hope this doesn't happen, and I'm fearful this won't happen. And we make wrong moves. We do wrong things. What's King Jesus showing? I'm not fearful, because you know what I can do? I can provide whatever needs to be provided. I am king, and my kingdom is not just on this earth. I'm king over the earth, and you know what I can take? I can take hardly little of anything, and I can make it in abundance. Why are we fearful about losing our jobs? Why are we fearful about not having enough to eat? Why are we fearful about the economy falling flat? Who is this king? I don't have an army. I don't have all these funds. He didn't give the money to the disciples and said, here, hand this money out, let them go find something to eat. The disciples saw a hopeless case, and they were trying to dismiss the people. Jesus said, I'm compassionate. I see needs, and I can help. What does that teach you and me? We need to depend on him. What about our brothers and sisters? Should we be helping when they need help, not want help? There's a difference between a need and a want. This is our King. And if we're servants in His kingdom, what should we be doing? That's why it's so, so important to look out for the needs of the poor. And that's not just poor the world. You got to remember, these people are all Jews. That's who He came to first. It was the Jewish people. Didn't go outside of the Jewish nation. Sometimes we need to learn that a lot of times people are out there, they're in trouble. And you know why they're in trouble? They've created it themselves by making bad choices. But do we need to be attentive? Yes. Jesus was attentive to this crowd, and we're trying to see a picture of who this King is that we serve. This is King Jesus. Let me show you another. Come back to Matthew 8 real quick. Y'all have already been through it, but I want to bring you back to Matthew 8. Look at verse 23. And when He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus Himself was asleep. And they came to Him and woke Him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." What's the scene? Fear. What's the scene with Jesus, King? How in the world could you sleep in such a storm? What does Jesus know? I've got the ability and I've got the power to over everything on this earth. I don't care if we're talking about a storm. I don't care if we're talking about food. I'm King. And as King, I can provide whatever needs to be provided. They're fearful. And look at what he asks in verse 26. He said to them, "Why are you afraid?" That's the question. "You men of little faith," what do you learn about fear right there? We're fearful of losing our possessions. We're fearful of losing all this stuff. What does Jesus teach right there? Fear moves you away from faith. Well said. That's a good way to state it. That's why you can't let fear control. You've got to look at the King. This is the King we serve. I can help. He helped those disciples on the water. He calms the seas. All I have to do, speak the word. And it's done. What other king on earth can do that? See, He's so different from earthly kings. And Matthew's trying to give us a shot. Look at this King. Come over to John 16 real quick. John 16. And listen to the rule of Jesus, the kingship of Jesus in these statements. Look down at verse 32. "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come." Is it there now? "Yes. For you will be scattered, each to your own home, and to leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me." What does King Jesus know? Why do we feel alone? Why do people make the comment in Christ, "I feel so alone. No one understands me. What did King Jesus see from this crowd coming? He had compassion. And you know what he knows? I can do something about it. Under the rule of Jesus, are you ever really alone? Shouldn't be. You should never feel that way. Continue on, verse 33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. He speaks it like it's already happened and he hadn't even died. Take courage. Who am I? I'm king. I have this kingdom that's not part of this earth. And you and I being part of that kingdom, in that kingdom, what do you think King Jesus is going to do for you and for me? Do you think he's going to be there? Why do you think Jesus can identify with us? What do you think he's going to do? And what you provide, and when we're fearful, you know what you always try to do in fear? You always try to work out the situation yourself. And what does King Jesus say about that? Yeah, you're not looking at, you got to look at me. I mean, they beheaded John. Why did something bad happen to John? They beheaded him. The king on earth beheaded him because he was fearful. He was fearful of what other people thought. He was fearful of Jesus. He was fearful of everything going on around him. He was fearful of Philip's brother's wife. He had so many fears, and look what fear did to him. Paralyzed him. And here's Jesus just calmly going along. I'm the king, and I know it. And when Jesus started to pass through the heavens to go back to God, Matthew ends up this account in Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I'm your king. And as we look through these things and we look through these situations, what do you see King Jesus doing? He's always got control of the situation. When you're fearful and you fall down and I just don't know what to do, what does King Jesus know? I know what to do. I know what you need. And I can provide it. That's why you have these situations that are written out in the text for us. That's what these people were back in Matthew 14. Come on back over there. Look at verse 20 again. And they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. Probably looks like the 12 full baskets represents the 12 tribes of Israel. Guess who? And what did they put on, above his head when he was crucified? A sign. What did it say? King of the Jews. And they had left over these 12 basketfuls. Hey, I can provide for all the Jewish nations whatever they need. I'm king. Verse 21. There were about 5,000 men who ate besides women and children. How large a group was this? 5,000 men. If every man were married, we got 10,000 at least, and then children. Now, we don't know how many of them were, but he does specifically say there were 5,000 men. I'm king. And as king, I'm also Lord. I control everything that goes on. How safe are we? Now, I'm going to back up into Matthew, something we've already covered. Come back to Matthew 6. Something you've covered. This makes more sense now when we go back and read it. Look at Matthew 6, verse 24. No one. I can. Isn't that how we think? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Some versions may say mammon. That's riches. Guess what is impossible? It's impossible to serve two masters at the same time. King Jesus said that. Because you know what? You're going to be devoted to one or the other. What if money is what you're after? Yeah. You can't serve it, can you? But boy, people go after and they hoard their money. They want to hold on to their money. Oh, but if this economy turns bad and if the stock markets crash and we lose the value of the dollar, what does King Jesus say about all that? Can I handle it? I know my people, and my people know me. Continue on while we're here. Look at verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life. There's your word. Don't be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as what you will put on. I don't have a thing to wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What does King Jesus point to? Is not life more than just food and more than just clothing and more than just money? Life. What is Jesus concerned about? Your life. Life. John the Baptist was beheaded. Well, bad things happen to good people. He was beheaded. God didn't spare him. He was a forerunner to Jesus. He's the one that prepared the way for Jesus. He was Jesus' cousin. And here he comes in the middle of all of this, John does. And at the time and point in his life, what happens to him? What is his life about? Life is much bigger than what you're seeing on this earth. I'm King Jesus. I am the Messiah. I'm the anointed of God, and I can bring everything about. I don't have any fears because I know what I can do. I know what I can provide. Life is worth more than food. Life is worth more than clothing. Continue on, verse 26. And look at the simplest of simple applications. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor do they reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Look at the birds. What do you learn about the birds? How do they get their food? Your daughter? We may try to help, but you know what? There's millions and billions of birds. How do those things eat? God provides. And Jesus died for the birds. He died for you. And upon dying for you, you and I came to Jesus. We came and were baptized into Christ. What's your value now to Jesus? More than the birds. So you know what? If life is worth more than food and the body worth more than clothing, guess what? God takes care of these birds that just chirp and do their thing. Jesus knows what we need. He is King of earth. King Herod couldn't do any of this. All King Herod could do was call his servants, come to me, you know. But boy, he was scared of one man. And I want you to look, think about the Jewish nation as a whole. What did that nation think about Jesus? He was a Nazarene. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth, they thought. But what did they think, really think about Jesus? You are a pathetic Messiah. We're looking for the anointed one of God to give Israel back their prominence and power. And this is who he is, this one man. And the whole nation is afraid of him. The Pharisees are afraid of him. The scribes are afraid of him. People are afraid of him. He would go into territories and he would do some miraculous things, some healings. And what would they tell him? Yeah, they called him names. You're Beelzebub. You need to leave. Can you imagine standing right before you is who? King. And he was an exact representation of who God is. God ruled over all the earth. And now Jesus has taken his rightful place as king. And God gave the earth and all the inhabitants of the earth under his authority. And you and I voluntarily came under his authority. What do you think that king is going to do for you and me? I'm a little fearful about this situation. So we ask King Jesus. And what does King Jesus say? Yes. Just like that's what's coming up here, storm here in a little bit, next section in Matthew 14. Focus on who I am. I'm not just a man. I am God's anointed. I am the King of heaven and earth. Look at the birds. You can't serve two masters. You got to decide where your allegiance is. Is your allegiance to Jesus as King? Or is your allegiance to things on this earth? Well, we've got these precious commodities, these heirlooms that have been passed down to me. I don't want to lose them. What do you learn? What do you think about? Just stuff, Janet, there's not a lot of value. You know what my mom asked me last night, talked to me about? We were watching, there's a commercial on it. I guess it was Sunday. And we got talking about around to it. My dad had bought a box of wooden round tuets. And it said on one side it had his business, and the other side said, this is for when you get around to it. And Mom was sitting there the other night, and she said, we've got some of those somewhere, don't we? Yeah. She said, I think there's, I said, I got a couple. So Mom could think that Dad had a round to it. But you know what? They're not precious. They're going to burn one day too. What we're looking at, and that's what I want to do in this lesson this morning, I want you to see who Jesus really is. Displaces fears, displaces worries, displaces everything that we could ever think or want. Here in Matthew 6, come on down to verse 32. Here's the comparison of the two. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. What do you learn? God knows. The Heavenly Father knows you need these things. What about King Jesus? You feed the people. You feed the people. You told them to go in and buy their own food, then you feed them. We don't have anything to feed them with. We got 2 fish and 5 loaves. Bring them here. Let me show you what the King can do. I can multiply it, and I can give an abundance. 33. But seek first His kingdom, His rule, His reign, and His righteousness. And these things will be added to you. What's a guarantee from King Jesus? As long as you seek His kingdom, His rule, His reign, you keep seeking that and seek His righteousness, what am I going to do for you? I'm going to make sure you have every single thing you need in your life. And when something bad happens, what do we need to be aware of? I'll take care of you. You think John the Baptist went to the gallows asking, why is this happening? I did all this for Jesus and now it's costing me my life. This isn't fair. But John was about the kingdom of the King. He knew I must decrease and the King must increase. He knew his role. He knew what his life was about. What's your thoughts? Yes, ma'am. Do you think that there's never been a needful person? Is that what you're saying? David in Psalm 37 says it this way. He said, I've been young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous beg for bread. Never. This is under King David. And he understood one thing. I can't remember the exact verse there in Psalm 37, but that's where that's at. I think it's around like 24, 25 right down there. But I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. And yeah, there were people at the destruction of Jerusalem. There were people that were in relationship with Jesus. Some of those who had been baptized by John could have lost their lives. Jesus didn't promise that you're not going to lose your life. We live sometimes in a false sense of security. Sometimes our ideas of faith are just not real. Yes, ma'am. Well, the bread of heaven is Jesus, is you feasting on Jesus himself. You know, when you sit down and you pray to Jesus, you're partaking of his bread. That's eating of Jesus right there. When you sin and you repent, guess what you're doing? You're having to partake of him. That's the bread of heaven. That's what all that's. Does that help? His physical. I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. Poor, give me some food. You know, even Lazarus, when Jesus used that illustration of Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus wasn't begging for bread. He was just longing for the crumbs to fall off the table so he could eat. And where did he end up? He ended up in the bosom of Abraham. Safety. Where'd John end up? Yeah. God changes. If you've got confidence in the king, what should you be doing? We need to be reading who this man is. That's what Matthew's about. Let me tell you about King Jesus all the way through. That's why I came back here to chapter 6. We've read some of these earlier things. Now it makes sense. Why was Jesus teaching his disciples that? Don't worry. I'm king. I'm Lord. I've got it all under control. I can do it. Does it open your mind any? You see the greater who he is? Quit looking at what's going on around you. Start looking to what's going on around him and what he's capable of and what he's willing. He's a compassionate, kind, and loving. Yes, ma'am. Without praying through him, we do pray through him. He's the means by which we get to God. We pray through him. Does that make sense? Yeah, he's the one that stands between us and God. He's the mediator of our sins. So when we pray to God, what's Jesus doing? And you can think about God, but you can't get there without Jesus. You can't get to God. He's that mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ. But what I wanted us to do today, as I went back and reading through 14 of here, Matthew, I wanted to see the king compared to the earthly kings. He's not like any king on earth. He's much different. And he cares. He cares deeply. Cares for your needs, my needs. And he cares that we don't let fear dominate our thinking and our lives. Don't let fear be a part of that. Don't let worries be a part of that. Any other comments or questions? Yes.
Go back to where the need is. always preparing us, because he says so many people are going to die and they're going to be tortured. The favor.
Yeah. Janet used a great illustration, the seven churches there in Revelation.
And that's how we should always be.
Yes. All the way through to the end, that's your life. I'm your life. Sure, sure. And he's concerned about that. And we always need to, that's a good point you made there about those seven churches. Be faithful to me to the end. And I will make sure you're there. You'll get to reign with me. I'm king. Anything else? Oh, y'all did well today. Okay, I hope I got to convey what I wanted to convey, but thank you so much. Next week, Carrie will be back to teach through February.